Chapter 20. The First Task. Harry got up on Sunday morning and dressed so inattentively that it was a while before he realized he was trying to pull his hat onto his foot instead of his sock. When he'd finally got all his clothes on the right parts of his body, he hurried off to find Hermione, locating her at the Gryffindor table in the Great Hall, where she was eating breakfast with Ginny. Feeling too queasy to eat, Harry waited until Hermione had swallowed her last spoonful of porridge, then dragged her out into the grounds for another walk. There he told her all about the dragons and about everything Sirius had said, while they took another long walk around the lake. Alarmed as she was by Sirius' warnings about Karkaroff, Hermione still thought that the dragons were the more pressing problem. "Let's just try and keep you alive until Tuesday evening," she said desperately, "and then we can worry about Karkaroff." They walked 3 times around the lake, trying all the way to think of a simple spell that would subdue a dragon. Nothing whatsoever occurred to them, so they retired to the library instead. Here Harry pulled down every book he could find on dragons, and both of them set to work searching through the large pile. "Talon clipping by charms? Treating scale rot? This is no good. This is for nutters like Hagrid who want to keep them healthy. Dragons are extremely difficult to slay owing to the ancient magic that imbues their thick hides, which none but the most powerful spells can penetrate. But Sirius said a simple one would do it." "Let's try some simple spell books then," said Harry, throwing aside Men Who Love Dragons Too Much. He returned to the table with a pile of spell books, set them down, and began to flick through each in turn, Hermione whispering non-stop at his elbow. "Well, there are switching spells, but what's the point of switching it? Unless you swapped its fangs for wine gums or something, that would make it less dangerous. The trouble is, like that book said, not much is going to get through a dragon's hide. I'd say transfigure it. But something that big, you really haven't got a hope. I doubt even Professor McGonagall. Unless you're supposed to put the spell on yourself, maybe to give yourself extra powers. But they're not simple spells. I mean, we haven't done any of those in class. I only know about them because I've been doing OWL practice papers."
"Hermione," Harry said through gritted teeth, "will you shut up for a bit, please? I'm trying to concentrate."
But all that happened, when Hermione fell silent, was that Harry's brain filled with a sort of blank buzzing which didn't seem to allow room for concentration. He stared hopelessly down the index of Basic Hexes for the Busy and Vexed, Instant Scalping, but dragons had no hair, Pepper Breath, that would probably increase a dragon's firepower, Horn Tongue, just what he needed to give it an extra weapon.
"Oh, no, he's back again. Why can't he read on his stupid ship?"
said Hermione irritably, as Victor Crumb slouched in, cast a surly look over at the pair of them, and settled himself in a distant corner with a pile of books.
"Come on, Harry, we'll go back to the common room. His fan club'll be here in a moment, twittering away."
And sure enough, as they left the library, a gang of girls tiptoed past them in the library, one of them wearing a Bulgaria scarf tied around her waist. Harry barely slept that night. When he awoke on Monday morning, he seriously considered, for the first time ever, just running away from Hogwarts. But as he looked around the Great Hall at breakfast time, and thought about what leaving the castle would mean, he knew he couldn't do it. It was the only place he had ever been happy. Well, he supposed he must have been happy with his parents, too, but he couldn't remember that. Somehow, the knowledge that he would rather be here and facing a dragon than back in Privet Drive with Dudley was good to know. It made him feel slightly calmer. He finished his bacon with difficulty. His throat wasn't working too well. And, as he and Hermione got up, he saw Cedric Diggory leaving the Hufflepuff table. Cedric still didn't know about the dragons, the only champion who didn't, if Harry was right in thinking that Maxime and Karkaroff would have told Fleur and Crumb.
"Hermione,
"I'll see you in the greenhouses," Harry said, coming to his decision as he watched Cedric leaving the hall. "Go on, I'll catch you up."
"Harry, you'll be late. The bell's about to ring. I'll catch you up, okay?"
By the time Harry reached the bottom of the marble staircase, Cedric was at the top. He was with a load of sixth-year friends. Harry didn't want to talk to Cedric in front of them. They were among those who had been quoting Rita Skeeter's article at him every time he went near them. He followed Cedric at a distance and saw that he was heading towards the charms corridor. This gave Harry an idea. Pausing at a distance from them, he pulled out his wand and took careful aim.
Defindo!
Cedric's bag split. Parchment, quills, and books spilled out of it onto the floor. Several bottles of ink smashed.
Don't bother,
said Cedric in an exasperated voice as his friends bent down to help him.
Tell Flitwick I'm coming. Go on.
This was exactly what Harry had been hoping for. He slipped his wand back into his robes, waited until Cedric's friends had disappeared into their classroom, and hurried up the corridor, which was now empty of everyone but himself and Cedric.
"Hi,"
said Cedric, picking up a copy of A Guide to Advanced Transfiguration that was now splattered with ink.
"My bag just split, brand new and all."
"Cedric," said Harry, "the first task is dragons."
"What?" said Cedric, looking up.
"Dragons,"
said Harry, speaking quickly, in case Professor Flitwick came out to see where Cedric had got to.
"They've got four, one for each of us, and we've got to get past them."
Cedric stared at him. Harry saw some of the panic he'd been feeling since Saturday night flickering in Cedric's grey eyes.
"Are you sure?"
Cedric said, in a hushed voice.
"Dead sure," said Harry. "I've seen them."
"But how did you find out? We're not supposed to know."
"Never mind," said Harry quickly. He knew Hagrid would be in trouble if he told the truth. "But I'm not the only one who knows. Fleur and Crumb will know by now. Maxime and Karkaroff both saw the dragons too."
Cedric straightened up, his arms full of inky quills, parchment and books, his ripped bag dangling off one shoulder. He stared at Harry, and there was a puzzled, almost suspicious look in his eyes.
"Why are you telling me?" he asked.
Harry looked at him in disbelief. He was sure Cedric wouldn't have asked that if he had seen the dragons himself. Harry wouldn't have let his worst enemy face those monsters unprepared. Well, perhaps Malfoy or Snape.
"It's just fair, isn't it?" he said to Cedric. "We all know now we're on an even footing, aren't we?"
Cedric was still looking at him in a slightly suspicious way when Harry heard a familiar clunking noise behind him. He turned around and saw Mad-Eye Moody emerging from a nearby classroom.